And before we do, I'd like to open up with a word of prayer this morning. We're here to help you connect with people that you see right around you, life-giving relationships, but also with the God of the Bible. So let's open with prayer if we could this morning. God, we thank you that you are alive today and that you chose to reveal yourself to us and to help us and to speak to us in ways that would be beneficial. Lord, we confess we don't have it all figured out. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Your ways are higher than our ways. And there's something that you want to say to us today that we need to hear and that we need to do. I pray that you'd help us with that. Lord, and all of us in our various stages of faith, please just help us to learn more about you, to be inspired today and to dig deeper. I thank you for that, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So we're going to go to the Bible this morning, just straight out of the gate. We're going to start in Luke 24. Luke 24. That's page 859 for me. Luke 24. Now, last Sunday we did end with some of Jesus' last words. And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Jesus said, go from here to there and make disciples. And we talked about that, what that actually means. And so we're going to pick up where we left off. I don't know about you. I grew up on the West Coast. The West Coast is very utilitarian. It's not one to stand on tradition and form, right? Yeah. So if it's not working, we tear it down and we start over. And it's very common on the West Coast for people to come to church and say, okay, so what? So what does that mean? And I just want you to know that if you have questions, or maybe you're ticked off or burnt out about the church, I'm with you. I have yet to actually have someone come to me and say something that they were upset about the church with that I didn't also agree with at some point. And I want you to know it's okay to ask questions. And one thing we're going to talk about this morning is, why are we here? I mean, really, what are we doing here? It's Sunday morning. You could be sleeping. Why are we here? What on earth are we doing? For real. What are we doing? And so that's what we're going to try to answer starting off this morning. But in order to do that, we got to go to the God of the Bible. Right? We need to hear what he has to say. And so I want you to put yourself into this story, because the story that we see here, these are real people just like you. People from all different walks of life, all different ethnicities, all different cultures, which are two different things, all different educational, economic levels, that had insecurity, fear. They were proud, they were full of themselves, they were also broken and ticked off and burnt out and hurt and lonely, just like you. But they were encountering Jesus, 100% God, 100% man, in the flesh. That means, like, for real, you could touch him, you could sit down and eat with him. Now, we're going to pick up in Luke chapter 24, verses 35 through 53. We're not going to read all that. I'm just going to finish up the chapter for the sake of time this morning. But what you have to think about is that what they had just witnessed, they've been hanging out with Jesus for about 3.5 years in personal relationships. Jesus went to Jerusalem. He had predicted that he would be killed, that he would die, that he would be dead for 3 days, and that then he would come back to life. Now, stick that in your peace pipe and smoke it. He was going to die, be dead for 3 days. He had predicted this, and then it happened. That would be kind of crazy, right? He predicted it, and then it happened, and this is what happened after that. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, so what I want to do is pick up with, let's go verse 36. Luke 24, verse 36. Remember, Luke is a doctor trying to describe things in detail. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. Now, I don't know, but I would probably mess myself at that point. Bam! He's there, standing there among them. Peace be with you. How many of you know that he probably had to say that for a reason? Right? Peace be with you, he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. Why are you frightened, he asked. Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. Now listen, if you're here today and you have doubt about God and about Jesus, God understands. He's not here to punish you for doubt. He understands. Look at my hands, look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me. Make sure I am not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you can see I do. As he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Still, they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" I love that. I love to eat, so of course I love that. They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. You can imagine this is kind of a strange moment. Then he said, "When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem." He quotes here, "There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You're witnessing, you are witnesses of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit," this is Jesus talking, "I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." And Luke describes, "Then Jesus led them to Bethany and lifted his hands to heaven. He blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven." Now, before Superman, before Iron Man, Jesus, you know, whoa, okay, let's just have a comic book about that. "So they worshiped him and then returned to Jerusalem filled with joy, and they spent all of their time in the temple praising God." Now, we're going to go to Acts. You can understand, you got to understand the temple was a public place. Most churches are only open on Sunday. The temple was a place 7 days a week for multiple purposes, public debate, conversation. It was a cultural place. It was a place that they could go and hang out. Okay? Now we're going to go to Acts. Now what you need to know is that the proper term for Acts, which is also a written account, a letter if you will, is the Acts of the Apostles. And it's also written by Luke, the doctor. So let's start with Acts chapter 1. "In my first book, I told you, Theophilus," that's a guy he's writing to, not Thelonious Monk, "I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after his crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time." Be a little bit crazy. All right. "And he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God." Now, do you know when we talk about empirical facts that there are more, from an academic standard, empirical facts, extra-biblical, empirical facts that Jesus was crucified and resurrected on the third day than there are of JFK's assassination? Not who killed him, just that he was killed. Now, how many of you believe JFK was assassinated? Okay? Now, you have more data, more historical proofs that Jesus was crucified and resurrected than that fact. Okay. "Once he was eating with them, he commanded them, 'Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" This is important, what we're going to talk about, so pay attention. "So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, 'Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore your kingdom?'" Now, how many of you know that the disciples may have not been the first people to be distracted by politics? "He replied, 'The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. They are not for you to know.'" How many of you know some Christians that are a little bit caught up with the end times? Also a distraction. Anyone who sets a date is wrong. If you want more on that, I'll meet with you later. Okay? Jesus made it very plain in other passages. It's not for us to be stressing about. Okay? The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud, pretty cool, while they were watching, and he could no longer see them. Excuse me, I got that backwards. And they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." And I can't wait for that day. Amen. Now, what the next thing they do is they replace Judas, which we don't have time to explain that whole story. So let's skip to chapter 2, verse 1. Everyone doing okay? Yeah. Okay, chapter 2, verse 1, and I'm reading from the New Living this morning just because it's a little bit easier to understand. On the day of Pentecost, which is a holiday, all the believers were meeting together in one place. That's important. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee," which is, means small town. They're probably dumb. "And yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, say it quickly and confidently, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done." They stood there amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. But others in the crowds ridiculed them and said, "They're just drunk, that's all." There's always a hater, right? Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel." And he quotes Joel chapter 2. "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And in those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark. The moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Amen. Peter picks up after quoting Joel. "People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and he prearranged, his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him." Now, I know for some of you, this is the most Bible you've ever read in your life. Hang in there with us. We're almost done. "But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life." How many of you are glad for that? Amen. "For death could not keep him in its grip. King David said this about him, 'I see that the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and my tongue shouts his praises. My body rests in hope, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life, and you will fill me with the joy of your presence.'" Now, Peter explains that as well. Dear brothers, think about this. You can be sure that the patriarch David wasn't referring to himself, for he died and was buried, and his tomb is still here among us. But he was a prophet, and he knew God had promised with an oath that one of David's own descendants would sit on his throne. David was looking into the future and speaking of the Messiah's resurrection. He was saying that God would not leave him among the dead or allow his body to rot in the grave. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven, at God's right hand, and the Father, as he has promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. Now Peter is explaining prophecies, Jesus, what happened, and what they had just seen. Okay? It's in the Bible. So when we use the Bible to explain the principles of God, the things of God, that's not an us idea, that is a Bible idea. The Bible explains itself. Are you with me? Okay, almost done. For David himself never ascended to heaven. Hello. Yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. Peter's explaining the relationship with the Trinity there, right? So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, right? These are the residents of Jerusalem, right? People that come crowd at the temple. Some of the same people there that said, give us Barabbas, right? Peter's bringing it down for a landing. He's bringing it home. So you let everyone in Israel know for certain that God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and even to the Gentiles and all who have been called by the Lord our God. Amen. I'm happy for that. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time. Luke's saying, listen, I can't write down everything you said. Strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Now, in their standard, they typically would count adults, okay? All the believers, another important, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What was their teaching? We know from other verses they were teaching what Jesus had already said that you have in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. We'll talk about that word a little later. That's like lunch next week. And to sharing in meals. Who likes to eat? Including the Lord's Supper. One reason why we do that regularly. And to prayer. One reason why we do that regularly. A deep sense of awe came over them all. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Now, it's important that you note, I don't have much time to explain this, that the awe that came over them was before the signs and wonders, because just as it is today, so it was then, that residents of a city that were of different ethnicities and different cultures would not spend much time together. So here you have people of different ethnicities and different cultures spending time together and enjoying it. And people found that to be awesome. Can I get a what? Okay, that's right. And so now we've got miracles going on. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. Each day the Lord added to their fellowship, come back to that, those who were being saved. Can you say amen to God's word? Amen. Now, we most certainly do not have time in the next 20 minutes to take a comprehensive look at this passage of Scripture, right? But what we can do is talk about some basic principles of what occurs. Is that okay?
Yeah.
To help us answer the question, why the heck are we here? What are we doing here? Right? What is this thing called church? So, the first thing that you see is people coming to salvation. Now, we will talk about this in greater detail in the future, but what is salvation? Now, we don't have time for a comprehensive look, but let's sum up. Princess Bride there for you. A second chance at life, right? By turning away from our sin, definition of that Bible word, repent. By turning away from our sin and turning to Jesus, we are provided an opportunity to be new. It's not you who save yourself, it's God who saves you. Hello? Right? Okay, let's not get it mixed up. Here at this church, we believe that there are no perfect people allowed and that we all need a fresh start. Amen. Right? You can say, that's good. I believe. Yes, that's right. Okay, you can't agree with me. So, salvation, this is an essential part. Right? And it's not till actually decades later that people start to use the slang term Christians or church to describe the people who were coming together. But if you were to describe the people that were coming together at that set place and time, you would describe them by the ones who were saved. Now, in our modern church context, much like it was then, the weekend worship, if you will, what we're doing here right now, was a place that is wide open for people who don't believe. Right? It's a place that's wide open. Whether you believe or not, we want you here. There's no such thing as coming to church that makes you a Christian. That's between you and God. So you've heard the old, you know, just like sitting in a garage makes you a car. Right? That's why if you're here and you're jacked up, or you're here and you don't believe in God, or you're here and you're in a place of searching and you know that your life doesn't match up, you're not a hypocrite. Yeah. You're seeking God just like we are. Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. This is a place where people who are seeking God should be comfortable. Right? So, but when people would call a group of people the church, they were talking about people that had experienced this, and the Bible word we'll talk about later in future weeks is regeneration, a complete change. Now, what's interesting in our current, in the United States and pop culture, there is a real division with media elite in particular in how they describe Christians. There's church folks, right? There's Christians, people that attend a church, and then there's those born again people. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Now, when people say born again, what they're talking about is this. Hello? That's what my Bible says. They're talking about this. People that have had a genuine spiritual experience that is changing them from the inside out that you cannot completely articulate. That's what they mean. That's what people, and I have friends that work in Hollywood on movies that you have seen, and I have friends that are living other lifestyles that have never been to a church, and when I have conversations with them, and when they describe the people on their job that are born again, that's what they're talking about. Now, in case you haven't picked up on it, that's what kind of church we are.
Yeah.
Right? Born again. That is the number one element to what is a church. What does it mean to be a church? Not where you gather and what you think you are. Oh, I'm going to do this chore, so I've got that notch on my belt, and I get this title, and that makes me a part of the church. Are you saved? Now, I have met, thankfully, over the last 2 years of living here, a number of people that grew up in Baltimore, and a number of people that grew up in Baltimore that attended churches that were led by pastors that were not actually saved. That went to church for more than a decade with never hearing about repentance. So this is not a given. Are you with me? Okay. Now, let's talk about the freaky stuff. Water baptism. What is that? Water? Do you guys still do that? Yes, we do. Now, if you look at the beginning of Mark, it explains this, and I'm just going to put it into my own words. Water baptism is a public, what's the point? Why do we do it? Right? Jesus, even Jesus himself did it. Right? He brought himself to John the Baptist, his cousin, to dunk him. Right? Why does Jesus, 100% God, 100% man, the Messiah, need to be dunked? Why? Okay, I'm glad you asked. It's a public confession of your faith in Jesus. Immersion, we don't believe in this church in sprinkling, we believe in immersion. in water as a symbol of identifying with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Literally, before you go down into the water, your old man, right? And a public statement that God has made me new and I want to be new. So I identify with Jesus, death going into the water, being completely immersed in the water, symbolizing of 3 days in the grave. Aren't you glad I don't hold everybody down for 3 days under the water, right? Or even 3 minutes, right? Right? 3 seconds. Okay, so burial and resurrection, right? A sign of death to your old life and a resurrection into your new life. See, Jesus knew, understood humans. He was one. Right? We forget that sometimes. Jesus understood that we would need something serious, a moment where we, okay, I had an experience. Oh, bless God. What do you do tomorrow? What do you do the next? Is your life different? Jesus knew we would need a symbol that meant something to us as well. Right? And one thing that we like to do when we do water baptisms is the people that are there present agree, we're going to support you in this decision. We're going to encourage you. We're going to love on you. We're your spiritual family. Right? How many of you have been water baptized? Okay? Don't mean to embarrass anybody. You can put your hands down. Okay. This is a good thing. So that's what's being talked about here. We don't believe in cutting out sections of the Bible. This is not a church where we're going to cut out sections of the Bible so that we can get as big a crowd as possible. There are churches that do that. Unfortunately, we are not them. Okay? Water baptism is very plain. It's in the Bible. Thankfully, we're very good friends with the Village Church and other churches in town that have water baptismals that we can use. If you want to be baptized, come talk to me today. We'll set you up with myself. One of the other leaders will walk you through a Bible study, make sure that you kind of understand what's going on, and we'll make it happen. We can do a meeting with a whole bunch of us. You do it just you and your family, however you want to do. We'll find a horse trough or in a church or whatever we need to do. All right? Horse troughs are usually easier for kids. Okay, So water baptism is also a part of what's going on here, right? Now, and what we're talking about is people who are saved. They're the essential element of the church, because we're going to talk about what makes up a church, why do we do church. The other thing that you see very clearly here is the activity of the Holy Spirit. Now, we believe in the Trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus spoke very plainly about the Holy Spirit and what he would do. One of the easiest ways to summarize what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit is that I will send to you a companion who will guide you in truth. Now, what we see here very clearly is different levels of the Holy Spirit activity, and I just want to help you articulate that. I know that in no way are we going to be able to answer all the questions in these brief few moments we have together this morning. But we want you to know, like, this is us. We believe this. We believe in God of the Bible, and we believe you can't cut out parts of Scripture. This is what happened. This is how the church started, okay? So what you see is Holy Spirit baptism. Baptism is that word immersion, okay? What that means is a person goes through an immersion of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you look in the Bible for every time it says they were baptized by the Holy Spirit, that word immersion, only half of the time does it say they, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues or languages. Okay? So even in the New Testament, not everyone who was baptized in the Holy Spirit spoke in other tongues. Okay? Filling. We also see in the Bible, there you see some of the same people that were baptized here in Acts chapter 2. Later, you also see there was a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's a whole Bible study unto itself. Then what you also see is an interaction between God and yourself where the Holy Spirit is a gift. Okay? So another Bible term for layers, if you will. Are you with me? Okay, some of us, good. So layers, if you will, of the Holy Spirit activity and what was going on. Now, if we were to sum up a lot of Scripture about the activity of the Holy Spirit that we believe is not over, still goes on today, what you could say is the Holy Spirit gives us an enabling. It gives us an ability to. And Jesus didn't. He told them, go and make disciples here in this city, in the region, and throughout the whole earth. But don't go until you receive the Holy Spirit. Now, some of us are in a place where we haven't been taught the actual Bible about the Holy Spirit, and so we lack understanding, and so we haven't asked for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we may find that we are extra intimidated when it comes to talking about Jesus with other people. And unfortunately, as a shepherd, my responsibility to you is to instruct you that the Bible is very clear that you may have that lack of spiritual strength because you have a lack of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus sent us the Holy Spirit for a reason. Not to be weird off in some corner with your own little club. Are you with me? It is a spiritual language. It is a prayer language. Now, you may think, this is weird. This is not what I signed up for. I've never heard you talk in tongues over the mic. That's another subject for another day. 1 Corinthians, right? Paul writes about how it should be used. It is a private and a personal prayer language. Okay? Now, I told you we weren't going to have time to be comprehensive today. I'm sorry. Okay? What we get out of this is a spiritual strength and a spiritual guidance. If you say to yourself, well, I don't know, I've never spoken in tongues, that sounds really crazy, I think I'm going to leave this church. But you say, I have in my relationship with God been aware of a spiritual strength and a spiritual guidance when I read the Bible, when I pray, then that's the Holy Spirit in your life. This isn't classifications, you have first-rank Christian. Come on, what God do you think we serve? Are you with me? Just because one person is over here acting a way that seems really strange, that doesn't make them holier than you. Get over it. Hello? What God do you serve? God is Father God who gives us good gifts and gives us good gifts freely. We're all His kids. Are you okay? I know, I'm crazy to bite off this much on a Sunday morning, right? Okay, so church. What is a church? Why are we here? Big C church would be universal church, right? And by that, what I mean, all believers, all time. Peter, Paul, right? All believers, all time. That's how some people use the word church. That's what they're talking about. When I say church, most of the time, what I'm talking about is this definition that is here in Acts 2. It is a local church, which means a specific group of believers organized at a set place and time. It's not just you and your buddy in a pub. There is a definition. There is a Bible definition. Now, I have buddies in pubs. I'm not against buddies in pubs. But there is a Bible definition for what is a church. And unfortunately, what we have right now is a lot of people that are kind of cotton candy, popcorn Christians, where there's no depth. Right? There's no functional understanding of what did God say and what does that mean and what difference does it make? Are you with me?
Yeah.
God did have something to say. Your pastor should not be a person who just sits and asks questions. No. God is clear with what He said. So it's a specific group of believers that are organized at a set place and time. Okay? Now, come on, you can do it. So, what is a local church? The first thing that you can't get past is regenerated members, right? People that have experienced salvation and that fresh start in a set place and time who are both gathered and scattered. Now, this is important for you to pick up on, and this is one thing that we do here. Our church is designed in a simple way, okay? We do not have Wednesday night services. We do not have a whole bunch of other activities. We're not going to start a Christian school, kindergarten through high school. We're not going to do a bunch of Christian concerts. Those are all fun activities you can do on your own. The church that I see in the Bible, in particular in Acts chapter 2, is a church that gathered together on the weekend every week, not once a month. They gathered together on the weekend in one place at one time to sing, share communion, to worship, to do the stuff that we did today, to study the Bible, to the apostles' doctrine, which was what Jesus said, right? To look at what Jesus said, which is why every week we talk about Jesus. And then they scattered. They went into their workplaces and their homes and their neighborhoods, and they also met in their homes. And some people say, I got the gift of hospitality. Okay, who do you have over? Oh, my church friends. That's not the Bible word hospitality. The Bible word hospitality is when you have people over that don't believe in Jesus. Yep. Look it up yourself. You'll find it. So people that gathered together on the weekend, all in one place, and then also gathered together in their homes. So regenerated members that were gathered and scattered. Are you with me? Okay. Now, we're going to bring this down for landing. So people who are joined together to live life, to go after their dreams, to pray, worship, grow, change, marry, raise families, and go through hard times and good times together. Right? Now, next week we'll talk about the other Bible elements of a church, the sacraments, which is like water baptism and communion, outreach, they clearly gave money away, the qualified leaders, there's very clear Bible definition of what makes me and our other elders, we have four elders that are qualified, and church discipline. Those are very basic, very simple Bible definition of what means a church, okay? Now, come on, you can do it. You can do it. I don't know what's wrong with this. I need to replace this battery. Okay, I want to say a couple really simple things as we close. The church is a great place to connect with God. It is. And it's a great place to connect with other people. What we want you to find here, while we describe our big three, our connect, grow, share, is an opportunity for you to connect with the God of the Bible and connect with life-giving relationships. We all have relationships that are a drain. We want to connect with life-giving relationships. Okay? Corey, let's go next. I think there's some things that are very easy for us to say. People need Jesus, right? Just look around. Look at your job, look at your neighborhood, look at the school. People need Jesus. The church is God's vehicle of hope. Open your Bible, read your Bible. The church is God's vehicle of hope. We cannot start churches fast enough. It's been my great pleasure to meet more than 50 of the pastors so far in Baltimore City since we got here. There's some wonderful churches in this city. And if you don't like this one, I will help you find another one. I'm fine with that. Okay? But there are not enough seats in churches in Baltimore City today to even put a dent in the population of the metropolitan area. Let alone the city itself. We're called City Bible Church because we're going to be in the city. You may feel like, oh, I drive here, I see one there. You might start looking around, you might find some of those doors are locked 7 days a week. There are churches that are shut down, been shut down for years. There are not enough seats in our city today for everyone to get a chance to connect with the God of the Bible. If you're here and you want to start a church, I want to help you. We are not here to build us. We want to help the city. That's our heart. Okay, that last word, okay, and that's what I'm going to focus on as we close. The Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. The Bible word for church is ekklesia. It's a Greek word that means a lot of things we won't define fully now, but one thing that it definitely means is fellowship, where we want to be around each other, where we are actually doing intentional relationships. We choose to share life together. And we try to lift each other up. Now, one of the most common things for people to struggle with is a sense of belonging. One way that's really easy to find out if our church is working or not is if you have a sense of belonging. If you don't have a sense of belonging, then we're not doing it right. And then I need you to help us fix it. What does that mean? To belong means I'm a part of something where I can give and receive. I mean, look around. There's a lot of places you can help this church, right? To belong means I feel love, acceptance, and affection. I am cared for. To belong means I'm not useless. I can make a difference. I am important. Corey, last slide. Somebody had a dream once. They died and had an after life experience. It came to a hallway. There was a door marked heaven and there was a door marked hell. And for whatever reason, they went into the door marked hell first. What they saw was a huge banquet table, and sitting around the banquet table were skeletons. There was food on the table, but every skeleton sitting in a chair had a spoon hooked to its hand. But the spoon was longer than the length of their arm, so they couldn't feed themselves. He left that room kind of puzzled, trying to figure out what was going on, and he went into the room marked heaven. Same table, same spoons, but it was a party. I looked for a loud, you know, party atmosphere, and he realized that everyone was feeding each other. When God changes you for real, it's not about you anymore. You want to be a blessing to someone else. You want to love someone else with God's kind of love. If church is working right, that's what you should experience. And that's when you can have that sense of belonging, and that's when it helps you. People help you move. They help you get jobs. They help your life. Hello. Can we stand to close in prayer this morning? I'm a couple minutes over this morning. I apologize. Now, you may be here this morning and you're ready for a salvation decision. Listen, myself and some of our other leaders would be happy to pray with you for that confession of faith. Or maybe you're here and you want to make a decision for water baptism. We can help you with that as well. Maybe you're here and you want to receive the Holy Spirit. We'd be happy to pray for that as well. Maybe you're here and it's time. You want to make this your church home. We want to pray with you for that as well. But as I close in prayer, I'd like for you, if you want to respond in one of those ways, to maybe you need a miracle. That was another thing that was in Acts 2, miracles of healing and signs and wonders. You can raise your hand or come up for prayer for that as well. As I close in prayer, I'd like for you to raise your hand if you want to respond, and I'll pray for you as well in this closing prayer. And then we have refreshments right outside this door behind me to the right. It'll be food, drinks, and a chance for you to meet people and talk and enjoy the afternoon. I just want to close in prayer this morning. Amen. Will you just bow your heads and close in prayer? And if you'd like prayer, please feel free to lift your hand. God, I thank you for your great gift of love for us. Lord, I thank you that you care about us, that you wanted to instruct us, that you don't want to leave us adrift wondering what life is supposed to be like. I thank you that you designed it so that we could have community, real community that works, where we can be supported, where we can feel like we belong. God, I thank you for what you're doing right here in the middle of us, in the middle of this city. And I pray, Lord, have your way. Lord, draw the people who need to come to that place of salvation. And Lord, surely you'll deliver, Lord, that assurance that comes with the confession of faith and water baptism and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, a sense of belonging to a church that matters, that brings strength, that brings support, that brings help. Lord, I pray that you would come today by your Holy Spirit and minister to us. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing here in this place. In the name of Jesus, amen. 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 God bless you. Thank you so much for coming. Don't forget lunch next week. We'll sign up for what food you want. Please feel free to come forward to the front for prayer. And if you'd like to fellowship, there's food right outside this door behind me to the right. Thanks for coming. Have a great day.